Geek Radio Daily for, you know, just getting right back to it, huh?
Yep.
Another Anti-Friday. But look, if you didn't notice over the weekend, some bonus things happened to make that a little easier. I mean, the streaming show.
Yeah, that's true.
And hey, Patreon folks, did you check your email? Yeah, there's something there, too. What are they talking about? Maybe you'll come find out. I mean, you can, a tiniest bit of things, and you get a little bit of extra something. I'm sure it's totally not worth it. I'm overselling it. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 5th of October. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks that are getting ready to make it happen today, well, the lady that's like, if you call me for one more problem, it's the Flintstress.
Don't make me come over there.
Oh, it's going to get real. Hi, everyone. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Play the victim and you will be the victim.
Alrighty then. Guess I'll play Captain Jack. What happened today, yo?
Well, let's take it back to 1582. Because of the implementation of the Gregorian calendar, this day does not exist in this year, in Italy, Poland, Portugal, and Spain.
Well, they're already one day closer to the weekend. 1905, Wilbur Wright pilots the Wright Flyer 3 in the flight that lasts 39 minutes and covers 24 miles, setting a world record that will last until 1908.
Huh. In 1923, Edwin Hubble identifies the first Cepheid variable star.
1934, the premiere of Hollywood Hotel on CBS becomes the first U.S. radio network program to originate from Hollywood.
Mm. In 1936, the first inner-city telecast in the U.S. via coaxial cable is transmitted between New York City and Philadelphia over an AT&T coax cable landline.
1947, President Harry Truman makes the first presidential address in history to be televised.
Mm-hmm. In 1955, Disneyland Hotel opens to the public in Anaheim, California.
1962, United Artists released the first installment in the James Bond film franchise, the spy film Dr. No, directed by Terrence Young, starring Sean Connery, Joseph Wiseman, Ursula Andress, Jack Lord, and John Kitzmiller.
In 1963, Casper the Friendly Ghost made its debut on ABC.
We'll miss you, Richie Rich. 1966, near Detroit, Michigan, there's a partial core meltdown at the Enrico Fermi Demonstration Nuclear Breeder Reactor.
Mm. In 1969, the comedy series Monty Python's Flying Circus premieres on the BBC with the episode Wither Canada. The series will run for 45 episodes over 5 series.
About time they gave us something different. 1970, the public broadcasting service, PBS, is founded.
In 1982, Johnson & Johnson initiates a nationwide product recall in the U.S. for all products in its Tylenol brand after several bottles in Chicago are found to be laced with cyanide, resulting in 7 deaths. Damn.
Same day, same year, Sony begins marketing pocket televisions with 2-inch diagonal flat screens.
In 1984, Marc Garneau becomes the first Canadian in space. Canadian in space! Aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger.
1986, Israeli secret nuclear weapons are revealed.
In 2006, Google launches Google Code Search, a free beta product that allows users to search for open source code on the internet.
2011, following a prolonged battle with pancreatic cancer, Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple, dies at age 56.
Mm.
Birthdays?
Morgan Webb is 42. That she's from Tips from a Gaming Goddess.
Kate Winslet's 45 from Hamlet, Titanic, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Finding Neverland, and Genie in Divergent.
Mm. Paraminder Nagra is 45 from ER, The Blacklist, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Guy Pearce is 53 from Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Memento, Count of Monte Cristo, Prometheus, and Iron Man 3.
Daniel Baldwin is 60 from Homicide, Mulholland Falls, and Vampires.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is 63, an astrophysicist, Star Talk Radio, Cosmos.
Clive Barker is 68, author, wrote the books of Blood, creator of Hellraiser, and Nightbreed.
Karen Allen is 69 from Animal House, Marion in Raiders, Starman, Scrooged, and The Perfect Storm.
Stephanie Cole is 79 from Open All Hours, Waiting for God, still Open All Hours.
No longer with us, born this date in 1882, Robert Goddard, engineer, professor, physicist, and inventor who was credited with creating and building the world's first liquid-fueled rocket.
Born in 1905, John Hoyt from Lost Continent, When Worlds Collide, X, the man with the X-ray eyes, and Flesh Gordon.
Not quite the one you're thinking of.
Nope.
1905, Harriet E. McGibbon, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, son of Flubber, and Mrs. Drysdale on Beverly Hillbillies.
Born in 1919, Donald Pleasance from 1984, Fantastic Voyage, Blofeld in You Only Live Twice, The 79 Dracula, and Dr. Loomis in Halloween.
1922, Bill Keane, creator of Family Circus.
Born in 1950, Jeff Conway, Kinnicky in Grease, Taxi, and Babylon 5.
1957, Bernie Mac, comedian, appeared in Ocean's 11, Bad Santa, Mr. 3000, Soul Man, Madagascar, and Escape to Africa.
Wow. Maybe something like that'll be on TV, but on CBS, we get a new Big Brother, a rerun of One Day at a Time, and a new Manhunter, Deadly Games.
ABC, top 13 on a new Dancing with the Stars, and a new Emergency Call. Emergency!
NBC has an NBC News special, Decision 2020, Biden Town Hall, qualifier 4 for a new American Ninja Warrior, and Dateline.
On Fox, after a body seems to fall out of a sky onto a busy street, the team tries to determine how this happened on a new LA's Finest and a new Filthy Rich.
On the CW, we get a new Who's Line, a rerun of Who's Line, and a deep fake pen on a new Penn and Teller Fool Us.
Freeform's got Ghostbusters D.
On AMC, a happily married couple begins to question their relationship when they learn there is now a test that can connect people with their perfect mate on a new Soulmates.
Bravo, Jess and Aisha talk about the guest group photo on a new Below Deck Mediterranean.
On FX, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
FXX, The Simpsons Marathon, Pork and Burns, The Great Fatsby, and Camp Crustier.
FXM, Now You See Me.
National Geographic, New Brain Games.
On Paramount, Tombstone, I'll Be Your Huckleberry.
Sundance as Devil's Advocate.
Sci-Fi showing Amityville, The Awakening.
Sci-Fi TNT is showing Tag. Remember that movie like 3 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. True TV Couples Retreat.
Science Channel Seven Wonders, Episode 7 on a new Unearth. So I guess that's the final episode?
I don't know.
I mean, I think so.
USA is WWE Monday Night Raw.
VH1 is showing the...
Do it with me.
I did not. The underloved Dope, because I was so excited that Dope was on. But we're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network. After enduring a family tragedy, a father and his teenage daughter invite a distant cousin to stay with them. But the woman develops a plan to claim the family and create a special prom that she was never able to experience. Yvonne Zima, the Zima, and Mark Lutz star in Killer Prom.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. FBI agent Chad trains and handles agents who go undercover to solve crimes. But today he mourns the loss of one of his own as the dangers of the job becomes all too real. But Chad's gonna stick with it. He's not running scared. Oh, no, no, no. He's gonna go put the squeeze on the bad guys and do whatever it takes to catch the fugitive responsible. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Ooh, it's time to check your mailbox.
Hi, geeks. Okay, we've established that we all, except for Rich, who reminded me he lives in North Carolina, have gone to the same theater for riff tracks and missing each other every time. The audience has really been small enough that we can safely distance in the theater. Are you planning to attend? It's not high risk, though. My roommate has a risk factor. He still goes to Kroger every week. This time, Riff Tracks is only going to be one night. With everything else canceled, I have nothing going on Wednesday nights and work only a mile from the theater. I'll ask them if they mind if I start and finish a couple of hours later so I don't have to sit in the lobby with a book wearing a mask for over 2 hours. Stay safe. That is from Bill. Well, Bill, I don't have no idea how we ever missed each other at Riff Tracks. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me at all. But no, I will not be at the new one because I'm sorry. I will not be in a movie theater anytime in the immediate future. Thanks. I appreciate your opening. I did Star Trek The Motion Picture on Thursday. Sunday is limited to bad movies. Oh, God, shuck my corn. Yeah, I got my things mixed. I didn't realize twice a week now. I didn't realize it was twice a week. Mark watches movies with folks. It doesn't mean a group watch. You have to have Prime to do it. And apparently on Thursday, as I announced on Friday, he was going to do Sunday. But on Thursday, they did Star Trek The Motion Picture. And they were going to do Ticks last night, but had to switch it to something Demon Wind, I believe it was. Anyway. Chad and Abby update. The clues I got. Hello, Heaven. Affection, Arcadia. Salutation, Shangri-La. All synonyms for Aloha Paradise. Chad and Abby are embedded in Aloha Paradise. Season 1, Episode 8, titled Letter from Broadway, Letter from Cyrano, Letter from a Secret Admirer. That is from Mark. Mark, you're absolutely right.
Guys, you don't have to have that much detail, so don't stop playing.
Mark just really
loves it. Just because Mark just really gets it every time.
Because, you know, someone who didn't have that much detail? That would be Lord Itchy. Who won for the month of September? So,
wow.
Sir, I have to make sure I send you a message and we'll get that all worked together.
If maybe you some know, gold bond powder?
At the bare minimum, I would think. If you've got an idea of where they are thus far this month, with all that we've had, drop a note, which please, it's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, you can send us a voicemail. You can send us a text. Just use the numbers.
510-GRD-CREW. Yeah, y'all, I haven't got a text in a while. Text me.
50 years ago, Mira, humankind's last hope to find new resources, departed the solar system. 7 years into her mission, she disappeared. She has returned. SNR Black, a Sol Federation Marine Corps vessel, is sent to retrieve her from certain destruction in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. what they find will change humankind forever. From Parsec Award-winning author Paul E. Cooley, Derelict, Marines, Part 1 of the Derelict Saga, combines military sci-fi, space opera, mystery, and suspense to create a journey you won't forget. Podcast available at shadowpublications.com. Paperback and ebook available from amazon.com. Some mysteries shouldn't be solved.
Hi, this is for a Geek Radio Daily. Sweep the Leg from Marty Sensei Cove.
I'm still going to beat you up in the video game when it comes out. Sorry, dude. But you know it's going to happen.
Okay. You're all.
Warriors, unsheath your weapons. Magic wielders, raise your wands.
Let me check my polyhedral dice. Turns out I have frost giant strength. Look it up.
Bring all of your strengths. What's new out there in the world of role-playings?
The ninja class from Ultimate Combat was written as an alternative to the rogue and almost designed as an early hybrid class designed from the rogue and monk. And who doesn't like that idea? Well, Tipsy Tabby Publishing decided on one last hurrah for the winning warrior series, and we're putting the ninja class on our surgeon's table. The new ninja has the Kai pool system from the monk and the backstabbing skills of the rogue. Instead of relying on flanking and trickery, the ninja chooses a victim, and then until their quarry dies or escapes, the ninja gains additional dice of damage against them. Ninja tricks return with new abilities, including some that are outright supernatural. Use of poisons, short-range teleportation, and long-range attacks of earth and wind fill out your arsenal, letting you, once again, win the day with a warrior. So that's Winning Warriors Extra Ninja from Tipsy Tabby Publishing.
Crafted by a cabal of morphogenic sorcerers at the behest of their diabolical masters, Twin Bridges are living entities of tendon and bone grown to a massive scale.
Ew.
Formed to provide passage over a lava flow in an infernal realm, these bridges provide twin choke points and are suited for defending against those that may try to cross. There are multiple variations that move the bridges to different, less hellish climates, as well as some variations without the bridges. You get a battle map 48x24 in all kinds of variants, a large print format, virtual tabletop files all included, for Spine Bridge 48x24 RPG encounter mat pack from Loc Battle Mats.
Well, kids are missing from a summer camp. One of the survivor kids detailed a monster attack, but the locals don't seem to treat it seriously. As expert monster hunters, our main characters know that something is off and it needs to be taken care of before something worse happens. Hungry Minds is a monster hunting one-page adventure, which means it's a whole story to be played written in a single page. To play, you'll need to have an RPG system, a player to guide the story as the storyteller, and 2 to 5 players to play the roles of the main characters, the hunters. The adventure is based on a Monster of the Week short campaign played by the Role Players podcast, roleplayers.net, and you can not only play this adventure, but also stream it on their website, so check it out. So it's a pay what you want for Hungry Minds, a one-page adventure from Target Roll.
Join a pack of plucky goblin kids as they seek adventure and attempt to solve a spooky mystery.
Spooky.
This Pathfinder 1 ebook includes 1 4-hour adventure, 2 monsters, 6 sample hero characters, 1 new unique magic item and hours of fun for first-level adventurers. The book is suitable for both veteran players and children alike. Savage Company Seasonal Special from SHM Publishing.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. As you may have forgotten, in 2012's The Amazing Spider-Man 2, Jamie Foxx's Max Dillon falls into an eel tank and is electrified, turning his skin blue and transforming him into the supervillain Electro.
Oh yeah.
That movie ended up bombing so hard it derailed Sony's plans to make more sequels, but we did learn that Foxx's Electro is making a surprise return to Sony and Marvel in the next Spider-Man film starring Tom Holland, and according to Fox, there will be a significant change to Electro this time around. His skin will not be blue.
Killing all rumors, this was a crossover with Avatar.
In an Instagram post, which has since been deleted, Jamie Foxx revealed that his upcoming iteration of Electro won't be blue. Tell Spidey let's run it back, he wrote. Super excited to be part of the new Marvel Spider-Man installment. Can't wait for y'all to check the new one, and I won't be blue in this one, but 1,000% badass.
Blue people aren't badass. Mystique, Dr. Manhattan, James P. Sullivan, they'd all disagree.
There are a couple of possibilities here. The first is that he deleted the post because he was mistaken and will in fact be blue in the new movie. Another is that Marvel Sony saw it and reprimanded him for revealing information that should not have been made public this early.
Who does he think he is? Tom Ruffalo?
Spoiler alert, everybody. Electro does die in Amazing Spider-Man 2, so there's no way he survived and figured out how to cure himself or change the pigment of his skin, so it seems more likely that we're going to see an Into the Spider-Verse scenario play out in Marvel Spider-Man 3.
Well, DC started doing a multiverse, so yeah.
The current release date for Spidey 3 is December 17, 2021, and yes, it will probably get a delay as everything else has been, so no crying about having to wait even longer for Electro or his missing color. No one wants to hear you balls. Blue.
So, yeah, going to the whole see movies during a pandemic thing isn't really working out, huh?
Nope, not for me.
You could have seen that coming.
You mean other than the folks who understand science?
Okay. Not to keep beating X horse, but it keeps coming up. In response to the James Bond No Time to Die delay that puts the late possible big theatrical release of 2020 back in 2021, Cineworld, the company behind Regal Cinemas, is considering the possibility of closing all its theaters again, possibly for the rest of the year.
Again, in my world, they already were.
The company, which owns 570 Regal Cinema locations in the U.S. and 99 in the U.K., is strongly considering closing 543 of its U.S. locations and all of the ones in the U.K. and Ireland. Variety sources indicate that this company is planning on contacting the UK government to inform them that with no tentpole movies coming out in the foreseeable future, the theater business is unviable and the locations can't stay open. This decision was reportedly made without notifying any employees of the theater, which include the 5,500 people in the UK alone.
Well, I mean, if they haven't really decided yet, you shouldn't tell anyone until you're done hemming and hawing.
Well,
they'll storm out.
In a statement via Twitter, Cineworld confirmed that the possibility is being considered, though a final decision hasn't been made. Yeah, see? They'll tell them before they actually decide. If it does happen, it'll probably put an end, at least for now, to the biology experiment that's been trying to run cinemas during the coronavirus pandemic.
Again, the popcorn in my house is better.
Well, and as for when we'll see theaters open again, No Time to Die is currently slated for April 2nd, 2021, and who knows if it'll be safe to see movies again by then. Wonder Woman 1984 and Dune are both still slated for December, but the chances those will be delayed are pretty high, especially if Cineworld closes. I mean, we understand movies. We'd love for things to be normal, but we remember Patrick Dempsey from Outbreak. Either embrace drive-ins and move forward or give us video on demand, or, you know, we only want to catch the movie.
Two members of a console hacking and piracy organization known as Team Executor have been arrested and charged with fraud for hacking Nintendo systems. One of the people is named Gary Bowser. French national Max Lorraine and
Mario, get him!
Bowser, originally from Canada, arrested in the Dominican Republic, allegedly led the group which made a line of tools for cracking lockdown gaming hardware.
Well, Gary Bowser was turned in by Jonathan Toad and Griffin Goomba.
Team Executor is a sophisticated operation best known for its Nintendo hacks, including a USB device called the SX Pro that allows the Switch to run pirated games. The group's for-profit motive has made it controversial in the modding and emulation communities, because those communities tend to focus on open source efforts and shy away from selling products that could draw the attention of console makers and federal authorities. Team Executor also made hacking tools for the 3DS and the NES Classic, among other devices.
See, if we still had Game Genies, the world would be a better place.
Damn right. Nintendo was well aware of the group, having filed two lawsuits against the organization back in May, with the primary intention of shutting down third-party retailers that resell Team Executor's products online. Nintendo also has a controversial history of its own, involving aggressive litigation over unauthorized use of its intellectual property. In recent years, they've gone after ROM sites that host ripped game files and other sites and web stores that traffic in pirated content and related hardware tools.
Including the ultimate hack kit called Keeping Open Our Playable Art System.
The Justice Department tries to emphasize the difference between Executor's activities and not-for-profit emulation of console hackers. The release says, the Executor attempted to protect its business overall by using a wide variety of brands, websites, and distribution channels according to the indictment, and that the group cloaked its illegal activity with a purported desire to support gaming enthusiasts who want to design their own video games for non-commercial use. But the primary purpose of the group's activities was to develop and sell for-profit tools for running pirated games, and additionally to help create and support online libraries of pirated games.
Mm-hmm. They thought everyone would love playing The Legends of Smelda, Metroid, and Super Macho Bros.
Both men face severe prison time if convicted, including 20 years for each charge of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and conspiracy to commit money laundering, with up to 5 years for some of the lesser charges. No trial date has been set yet, but if convicted, they could face being placed on a bridge that falls apart, dumping them into lava.
Funny. Well, for the first time, scientists have observed an interaction of a rare and baffling form of matter called time crystals. The crystals look at a glance like regular crystals, but they have a relationship to time that both intrigues and puzzles scientists because of its unpredictability. Now experts say they could have applications in quantum computing.
And could do wonders for the smartwatch industry.
Right? Well, scientists only theorized the existence of time crystals starting in the 2010s, making this the state of matter equivalent of so-called ruby chocolate. Is it really a new thing or just a special case of something else?
Sorry, ruby chocolate. We're not convinced.
By 2015, researchers were outlining ways time crystals could exist, generalized as non-equilibrium forms of matter. The team was investigating what happens when certain isolated quantum systems, made of a potpourri of interacting particles, are frequently prodded by shining a laser on them. Counterintuitive to conventional physics, which maintained that mayhem would ensue once the system would heat up, the Princeton team's calculations showed that under certain circumstances, the particles would actually glue together to form a phase of matter with properties previously unseen.
The closest thing being the Flexi-Seal. But wait, there's more!
Good one. Well, in their experiment, they placed two time crystals in superfluid and mixed magnons between them. Magnons are magnetic quasi-particles that in this case led to opposite phase oscillations, while the crystals themselves stayed phase stable. What's cool, and literally super cool, is how the matter acts within predictable quantum mechanics ways, despite the central quality of wild oscillation patterns over time.
The team tried for days to think of a term for it other than wibbly-wobbly.
Well, before this, nobody had observed two time crystals in the same system, let alone seen them interact, said lead author Samuel Alty of Lancaster University. Controlled interactions are the number one item on the wish list of anyone looking to harness the time crystal for practical applications, such as quantum information processing. The team came to this conclusion after studying the immense research by, you know, the blockheads.
New research suggests fecal transplants could one day be used to reverse the cognitive decline that comes with aging.
Good, because, you know, that'd be a waste.
Scientists wanted to measure the effects of microbiome changes on anxiety, exploratory behavior, and memory in mice. Researchers were able to trigger marked changes in the microbiomes of young mice by performing fecal transplants from older mice.
What the deuce?
The transplants had no impact on anxiety levels, exploratory behavior, or locomotion, but Mays' test shows the microbiome changes did impair the spatial learning and memory of young mice,
making them the number two group.
Scientists have yet to perform fecal transplants from young mice to old mice, but they're hopeful that they will have a reverse effect.
Well, they feel it's the best way to get their crap together.
While it remains to be seen whether transplantation from very young donors can restore cognitive function in aged recipients, the findings demonstrate that age-related shifts in the gut microbiome could alter the components of the central nervous system, said study co-author Claudio Nicoletti. The team believes that this is going to work, and they are going to be calling this procedure Shit for Brains. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And again, Lord Itchy, let's talk. Let's find stuff out for you. And anyone, if you want to get in on what's happening, tell us where Chad and Abby are this week. And next month, it might be you that are the winner. Just drop us a note to this podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, send a voicemail, send a text message. Just use the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CROW.
And we will see you, you know.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
What the hell are you still doing here?
Unable to comply.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers!
I'm going.
Indiana Jones. Always knew someday you'd come walking back through my door. I never doubted that. Something made it inevitable. So what are you doing here in Nepal?
I need one of the pieces your father collected.
I learned to hate you in the last 10 years.
I never meant to hurt you.
I was a child. I was in love. It was wrong and you knew it.
You knew what you were doing.
Now I do. This is my place. Get out. Mohan, Demigru, Bulianu.
I did what I did. You don't have to be happy about it, but maybe we can help each other out now. I need one of the pieces your father collected. Bronze piece about this size with a hole in it off center with a crystal. You know the one I mean?
Yeah, I know it.
Where's Abner? Where's Abner?
Abner's dead.
Harry, I'm sorry.
You know what you did to me in my life.
I can only say I'm sorry so many times.
Well, say it again anyway.
sorry.
Yeah, everybody's sorry. Abner was sorry for dragging me all over this earth looking for his little bits of junk. I'm sorry to still be stuck in this dive. Everybody's sorry for something.